Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Happy Friday afternoon. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by, as always, Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So we want to start off, as I'm closing all these weird windows that are picking up, the show. Everyone has heard about Doge, which is doing a great, amazing, wonderful job. But commentator and a frequent guest on our show, John Conlon, has a great column up in American Thinker. And so, John, I want to welcome to your show.
John, how's it going?
Good. Good to talk to you all again.
So you had, and I'll let you explain it, a great thing. It's like, okay, now in addition to Doge, we need a DOAR. Yeah, a Department of D-O-A-R. Why don't you explain what that is? Because I think it's great.
Well, it's Department of Actual Results. So I think we all agree that Doge is very important. I mean, we can't keep going the way we're going. It ends in catastrophe. But on the other hand, I don't know, as management guru Peter Drucker once said, there's nothing so useless as doing something efficiently, which should not be done at all. And it's like, very, you know, I'm an ex-management consultant. So, and then tie that with Milton Friedman, who said one of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than the results. And basically, you have the foundation for DOAR. Like, let's not just look at, are we, you know, throwing money away, but let's look at the money we're spending and saying, is it actually accomplishing its goals? And if not, you know, then let's get rid of it. Let's tweak it, whatever. But
and whether those goals, matter anymore.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the goals, like the NGOs, the goals are to enrich Democrats and their friends. So in that.
We're good at that.
Yeah, well, I'm a cynic. So that's how I start the beginning of the article, is noting that, you know, we talk about this wasteful spending. But from the left's perspective, none of it's wasteful, because its goal is to expand, forever expand the government, knowing that 90 plus percent of those people are going to vote for the Democrats, the party of government. So that, you know, from their perspective, there is no such thing as wasteful spending as long as it employs people.
Right. Well, and going with your DOAR, Department of Actual Results, and this ties in, I think, to another area of your expertise, and that is the Department of Education, right? I think you make a good point in that, okay, so maybe we're kind of efficiently spending money there, but is the Department of Education actually accomplishing anything? And on a federal level,
real goal.
Yeah, and I think an argument could be made that it's not, which is one of the reasons that Trump wants to get rid of it, right?
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, I think every area, local, state, federal of government, is ripe for DOAR analysis. It's like, okay, you know, plastic bags in Colorado, oh my gosh. Well, somehow there was some goal. Have we remotely accomplished that goal? All the evidence I say is no, it was just a waste of money and we're just harassing people for no reason. But let's look at results, not just intentions.
Well, yeah, because I don't think the carbon footprint has changed any. And instead, for instance, this one place I shop at, so rather than giving you a bag that they had to charge you for, now they give you like essentially a cardboard thing to carry it out in, right? So it's kind of like, it's like, there you go.
Well, it's better than 7-Eleven. I go to a local 7-Eleven. They won't, I don't care how much you pay them. They're not going to give you a bag.
Yeah, there's a lot of stores don't even deal with
there,
that.
You can carry out as much.
Walmart
as
is the same way.
It's kind of like those old contests where you'd try to get as much stuff as you could.
Like Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Well, what are some, you had some great examples and you talked about in your column. Why don't you go through some of those with us?
Well, education, K-12 is a soapbox that I'm regularly on. And Milton Friedman was on that one too. So I finished up the article with that, talking about, you know, long ago, technology was going to revolutionize K-12 education. I mean, it was going to change the world. And so we spent all this money. Now here, I live in Littleton, all the schools, everyone has a Chromebook. Yeah. And results, what have results done? Nothing. You know, I mean, if nothing else, why didn't they set up a process to test what the results are? So we spend billions of dollars on technology in the classroom, and the results, if anything, are neutral. They're probably negative. You know, they try to take pencil and paper away from kids trying to learn basic math. You know, right. I mean, try to add a column of five numbers without pencil and paper, and, you know, and we know how to add. If you're just learning, it's insane. So then, you know, you look at pretty much everything that public education supposedly tried to touch to improve. Let's look at those things. They tried to address sex education because somehow people couldn't figure out how that all worked. I don't know how as a species we survived this long, but somehow they needed the public schools to explain that to them. What happened? Sexual promiscuity exploded. Disease exploded. We've never recovered from it. Then they tried to address drug education. They even knew that DARE, I forget what DARE stands for, but it was the anti-drug program that your kids, unless they opted out, were forced to attend. Actually, kids that went through that were statistically slightly more likely to use drugs than those that never.
Well, so you would, what is cocaine? Okay. How about mushrooms? Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's
try
what
that.
It's more like training class.
Yeah. Pick out the kind of drugs you think would be best for you.
Right, exactly. You don't use this one, but now this one might work out for you. Then recently they tried to address bullying, and there was an explosion of bullying. And it seems like they're, you know, I look at my consulting, and basically their response generally is, yeah, it's bad, but think how bad it would have been if we didn't do these things. And I just think of that and say, and in my management consulting, if I went in and helped the company reorganize and everything is terrible, nothing's improved, and the owner's upset, and I said, yeah, but, you know, just think how bad it would have been if you didn't hire me. I don't think that would have sold.
They wouldn't give you a 5-star rating on Yelp.
Yesterday, on my favorite station, MSNBC, they had said, well, what does the Department of Education do? And they were saying, well, see, the Department of Education is basically set up to help people who really need help, people with disabilities, people with brain challenges, and you know, lots of other things. And so we just add on, you know, you got your state, your local, and that's fine, but we're just a supplementer. We supplement that to the benefit of these poor people who really otherwise would be left behind.
Well, and we know, I mean, if you really look at it, the Department of Education exists because Jimmy Carter was in political trouble and he needed to throw a bone to the school teachers so they'd support it.
Right.
And it wasn't even the teachers, it was the unions. I should correct myself.
Right. Well, and you look at, I mean, you could probably go through a lot of things, and you just raise an excellent point. It's like, number, does it actually accomplish, you know, like you said, 2 points. One, does it actually accomplish what it says it's going to accomplish? But do we actually wind up accomplishing that in the first place? And it seems you could cut like a lot of stuff out from that. For instance, you know, maybe they are efficiently doing grants on transgender mice operations, but then you need to go like, do we actually care about that?
Mice are working out with their new sex change.
Well, and sadly, that's, again, going back to the public schools. Now they're addressing that. They're addressing children who are confused about their sexuality. And it's like,
And they're exploiting them, yeah.
Yeah.
My God, protect these children from this crap. You know, if you look at their history, nothing they've touched like this works very well. And I always laugh. It takes a trained psychiatrist years sometimes they can't change an individual person one-on-one, but some teacher who might have a degree effectively in nothing, if she has a degree in education, is in front of 35 kids and she's going to somehow magically shape and mold them all. It's like, no, just do your job, teach them to read, to write, be a decent person by example. Hopefully they'll learn to be a decent person.
Don't take them home for sex.
Yeah,
like we do in Jefferson County.
In Jefferson County. Well, and you know, sometimes, and this is a little bit of an aside, but talk about, like, you know, back to the bullying and the programs and the actual results. Let's take a look at the actual results. There was at my son's school, this is a few years back, actually several years back, some kid made a threat. And because of the way the world works, when I was in school, they probably would have called the parents and said, hey, do you know your kid is walking around saying this? And the parents would have sat down with them and said, hey, quit saying that. And that would have been it, right? But instead it becomes, because of things, this full-blown thing, notes go out to parents.
Kids are arming up. Yeah, Wes comes home, they have a Bowie knife. So he takes a Bowie knife to defend himself.
Scared. It was a big nothing. It determined, but it was like kids playing telephone, right? One kid said something that somebody else. So, but what happened though, this was just not that long ago. We saw this kid who had to leave the school, right? Kid had to leave the school, and we saw the kid someplace else. And years later, that's what the other kids remembered. Do you know what I'm saying? So here is this incident that was completely blown out of proportion by a system that's supposed to be helping the kids. And this is the stigma following this poor kid around where, you know, and like, that's the result, right? And that was, I'm sure, not the desired result. It's
was the desired.
Well, yeah, they want to destroy kids' lives, but it's just so ridiculous that, you know, and I feel bad for the school because they can't not deal with it, right? Because then everybody gets all excitable about that.
Well, you know, the one that for government does it doing the accomplish, somebody at the Pentagon came up with the idea that what we really need to do is be able to fight two wars simultaneously, one in Europe, one in Asia. And so we have to have enough manpower, people, everything else to be able to fight two wars. Which also means we need the capacity for Martin Marietta and everybody else to have enough so they can supply all the armies and so forth. And really what it comes down to is that they have to get in little wars to keep everybody sharp. So what their strategy has done is make sure that we're just always, you know, Syria, great, let's go in there. Let's go in just about everywhere.
Yeah, It's depressing sometimes. You know, the lefties used to talk this way. I like the old lefties, you know, when they were kind of against the military. They didn't trust the CIA and the FBI. Those people I could somewhat relate to. But, today it's, we got these weapons systems. You never know how good they are until we use them. So, it's sad, but true, because in Afghanistan and Iraq, our weapons capabilities, from what I read, tremendously increased because we did it and learned.
Yeah.
And then we left it back for the enemy to have. Well, you know, when you look at actual.
So they could try.
Yeah. When you look at actual results, there's so many things that you could look at where, you know, like for instance, the homelessness situation, right? Governor Hickenlooper.
We proved that here in Denver.
Governor
Hickenlooper going to solve that?
But in 10 years, right? And look at the millions and millions and millions of dollars that have been and are continuing to be poured into that with the results are just the opposite. We have an increasing population. And you're right. If you were running a company that way, you would be fired. But no one actually, you're not allowed to say that. Well, yeah, we just need more money. If we had a little bit more money, it would work better.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's all we need in Denver, a little more money.
Right. Well, I think, and it if you dig in with like a Department of Actual Results, it shows that the scam that they're running, because what happens is if you like look at all the money they spend in a year and all the homeless they take care of and divide one number by the other, you say, holy crap, we're spending like $150,000 per homeless person. Right. Let's just give them half the money and we'll save money.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, how did it come about, John, that it became sort of like verboten to actually look at the results, right? And if you're looking at the results, then you're bad and you get banned from all kinds of social media accounts.
Well, because I think a lot of people don't want to look at the results. You know, going back to my management consulting, the first thing you got to do when you're thinking about these is, okay, what the hell are we truly trying to accomplish? And if you can't identify that, then don't go any further. You know, what truly are we trying to accomplish? And, you know, they want, you know, the lion and the lamb to lay down to each other. They want to teach the world to sing with a Coke in their hand. These are warm, fuzzy things. But who doesn't want those things?
Right. Well, exactly. And then it also becomes sort of like with the homeless thing. Is it something that you can actually accomplish? Sort of like the war on drugs, right? I think human beings since Adam and Eve actually have been, ingesting things that they know is bad for them. And yet
you can. The Chinese communists prove you just kill you give them a warning. And then if they keep on doing it, you kill them. And then pretty soon your addict population tends to decrease.
But again, it goes back to, I just think that's such a good idea. It's like, let's take a look at, the results and like, what is it that we want to accomplish? And, as you said, if you can't really, Leo says, those damned apples. If you can't identify what it is you're trying to accomplish, maybe you should just go back to the drawing board or get rid of the department altogether, huh?
Right, exactly. Either spend the money elsewhere, somewhere positive, or better yet, leave it in the citizens' pockets and let them decide how the money is spent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you look at the Colorado legislature, and again, all the gun bills that they have going on. You look at the cities with the most restrictive gun laws, which then places like Chicago, right, have the worst gun crimes. So if you had a department of actual results, you could take a look at it and say, okay, well, that's not working,
Oh, the entire gun law industry is built on lies. Like you said, there's absolutely no correlation. And the things they try to pass, obviously, it's the gun show loophole. It's like, okay, in the last 10 years, how many shootings have there been where the person got it at a gun show? Oh, close to zero? Then I don't think that, quote, loophole is really cause of the problem,
Right. Well, and then you look at things like women's health, right? The Democrats make it seem as if everybody could have an abortion anytime they want. We would be the happiest women in the universe, right? Because we have freedom over our bodies, blah, blah, blah. And pretty much in places like Colorado and most places, you can get an abortion pretty much at any time. And yet you read these surveys that show young women are the most miserable, unhappy, unsatisfied they've ever been ever, right?
Right. But they don't want to dig into that, So you kind of have to force it, because I think it does, going back to something Trump and Cruz talking about, it goes back to common sense. Somehow, people didn't have college educations 100 years ago, but they were a hell of a lot smarter than people today.
Right. Well, and yeah, I think as Trump pointed out, somebody pointed out, how are we going to build our communities without illegal immigrants? And people are like, well, we've managed to do it before.
Maybe they had one where the people said, they clean up our tables, they do this, they do all these menial things. And somebody said, that sounds exactly like, who are we going to have pick our cotton?
Yep. It is
why don't
no
we
different.
Just enslave them? And then, we'll all be better off.
It was this exact same argument that the plantation holders of old South used. I agree, it's disgusting. I have friends that used to work in construction and whatnot. And it's like, no, Americans didn't abandon working in construction. They were priced out of the market. That's
right.
Right. Well, do you think so? What, just your sort of sense, and then we'll let you go, but how Trump is doing? I mean, to me, it's astonishing, and it's astonishing how quickly he's moving. But your take on the whole, the first, whatever, how many days?
45 days.
Yeah, 45 days.
I agree with you. It is glorious, is what it is. Will they make mistakes? Of course. If you've never made a mistake, you've never done anything. Okay. So especially when you're trying things new, Trump's the type of person, one, he thinks out loud, so he doesn't do it behind closed doors. And it's like, well, what about this? What about that? Maybe it's a crazy idea. Maybe it's not. Let's throw her out there and think about it. And that is a refreshing way to think.
Right. Right. Well, John, listen, where can people, I know your current column is up in American Thinker. Where else, if people want to read your stuff, can they find you?
They'll have to just search for my name, John Conlon. I took my website down because it wasn't doing anything for me. So I'm still working on that. But I'm still, as my wife notes, I'm still on my soapbox all the time. So.
And there you go. Well, and we always love it I love it when you send me your columns and then when you come on our show. So thank you very much for
your
time.
You've been great.
Thank you to you both. Keep giving them hell.
All right,
Okay,
we will do
we'll
that.
try.
Thank you.
Okay,
John
goodbye.
Conlin there, and that's Conlin. He's got a good column up there, an American Thinker, on the Department of Actual Results. Hey, why don't let folks know if you want to call in, 888-627-6008 is the number, 888-627-6008. Or if you're with us here on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself and you can just talk or you can
raise
your hand. Raise your hand. I mean, we finally figured out how we can do that in chat room. So.
This is great.
But wanted to talk, at least jumping in. So feel free
talk
to just.
Tell people how to do it, Julie.
You go to the React, I think. And then you don't listen to me. I mean, the talking about.
Now there's words for wisdom.
Yeah,
we need to just Thomas, save that little thing that we can play it over and
don't
over again. Cut that one out. And we can say play clip one.
Oh, Thomas already clipped. Oh, he says Thomas has already clipped. I got you, Chuck, and everybody's raising it. Yes, React. Okay, Dr. Donna, who knows how to do it, says React is where you raise your hand. And I see Jacob has his up. Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, he knows the button to push.
Yeah. Hey, Jacob.
I know how to react. Anyway, it's an atomic reactor, but that's a different story. I just want to know, can the city of Denver afford to represent our mayor if he is turned over, in the Department of Justice? He was referred to the Department
right.
of Justice. Yeah. Now, if they actually go to court, can Denver really afford to defend him?
Well, they'd have to hire because, certainly they wouldn't allow the pesky city attorneys to handle that.
That fool.
So they'd probably have to hire a bunch of high-priced lawyers, hopefully not the same lawyers who gave him the advice in Washington, D.C. But
well, that costs $2 million. Can you imagine actually giving a trial?
I don't know. And one could argue.
And that was coming to Burling, which was the Trump administration says we're revoking all the security clearances.
Well, and Dr. Donna is saying, do elected officials have qualified immunity? Yeah, but I think what the argument here would be, Dr. Donna, is that you don't have qualified immunity if you're committing a crime, right? So if he were while he was being mayor, rob a grocery store or something like that, he wouldn't have qualified immunity. I think their argument is going to be that they knowingly gave sanctuary to illegal immigrants. So that would be
he's just
a crime.
The state law.
It would, Jacob, that's a good question. They would have to, right? They'd have to have stupid citizens of Denver would okay it.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the money that Trump has when the lawfare went after Trump.
Exactly.
But I really don't blame Matt Johnson for the illegals. I really blame Hancock, but he's out in Florida now enjoying everything that he voted against in Denver, and he's enjoying all that in Florida.
Tell you the truth, he didn't go.
This he didn't go?
No, this one's a little few, little known secret, because after he got out of office, he had to collect all the money, right?
Yeah.
The way the bribery works these days is you do the dirty deed, but you don't collect till you're out of office. Well, he found it hard to collect that, down in Miami. So, he stayed in Denver to collect all the money.
Oh, is he still here?
Mm-hmm. He's still here?
Yeah.
Collecting
money.
Then drag him into Congress, man. Him and Kevin Flynn and all those other guys that passed that law. Drag him into court.
Exactly. Hey, that's Jacob. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Have a great weekend.
Great. Thanks. You too. Thank you, Jacob. Dr. Donna says, or a civil rights violation that usually takes away their immunity. Yeah. And here's the thing, what I love about what Trump is doing is that's just cause them headaches, right? Just go ahead and say, we're going to investigate you. I mean, that's what they did to Trump, right? I mean, that's in a way what lawfare
get
is.
A grand jury going. That's always fine.
That'll take weeks and they have to pay those high priced lawyers.
And you never know what the grand jury is doing except the prosecutors.
The point of lawfare is not to actually win a case. I mean, that's great if that happens, but the point of lawfare is to inflict pain on people and torture them. And so the more they can do that, the better. And speaking of that, then we wanted to talk a little bit about the Tina Peters case. We've talked about it before, but as I think as most of everybody here knows, the Department of Justice has decided, it's looking at a bunch of cases, Tina Peters' case being one of them, to review whether the persecution was an abuse of the criminal justice system.
And so they'd intervene in the case that's been started by the lawyers for Tina Peters for
Right.
habeas corpus.
So, because Tina Peters, as you know, was, and the judge made outrageous statements during the sentenced to 9 years in prison, which he may have cooked, you know, cooked his own goose to that tweet. But why have Chuck as a lawyer?
I don't know how he cooked his own goose.
Well, his own words have probably set it up.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Well, no, he got his, you know, 4 minutes. But why don't you explain how would that work? Because it's on the one hand, Tina Peters, it's a state case and she's in state jail. So how would the Justice Department review work on that? So and you said it ties back to a, believe it or not, as everything does for Chuck, a Bob Dylan song.
All things begin with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Well, habeas corpus is a writ, which means it's unlawful detention. You have someone unlawfully detained or in jail. And they say, bring the body to me. And it's been used in England back to the post Magna Carta. And lots of countries have habeas corpus type ones. I was kind of remembering if I'd ever worked on a habeas corpus case, and I did back in the 70s when I was clerking, where they brought a habeas corpus for a man who's going to be executed down in Arizona. He didn't want the habeas corpus brought. He wanted to be executed, but, you know, they didn't care. So we had to go in Saturday morning at about 5 o'clock, and they executed him at 7.
Didn't work, in other words.
It didn't work. But it was a method in which a lot of the death penalty cases, part of the reason that those would go on for a decade or further, because they constantly bring habeas corpus actions. And so there's a something passed in 78 that restricted it a little bit. But they, you know, they certainly go, and now they got to get a judge to agree, you know, release her. This has been a miscarriage of justice.
The theory would be, yeah, that it was a miscarriage of justice, and therefore the federal government has the ability to intervene to release the person.
And so she's going to the Bob Dylan one. He wrote a song called Hurricane about Hurricane Carter, which is a middleweight boxer that had been convicted, all likelihood, wrongly in a bar shooting in Newark, New Jersey. And Bob Dylan did the song, which is a great effect. And so the private case brought for habeas corpus to federal court in New Jersey, and they granted it. Now they went up to appeal, I think to the Third Circuit, and they affirmed. And so Hurricane was released. Wouldn't that be great with Tina?
Right.
We could all play the Hurricane song.
And to be clear, so it's not as if they're going to intervene and overturn the case or pardon her or anything like that.
No.
They're just going to say, and because could they rule then pretty narrowly, not even on the whole prosecution, but just on the sentencing aspect of it too? Well, or are they kind of hand in hand there?
Well, it's a writ, which means it comes back from something from the Middle Ages. So what you can do and can't do is sort of up to the judge what he wants to do. He could certainly say the sentencing, you know, it was good.
He was doing it solely to punish her.
It's good for 6 months, but she's been in there 6 months. So release her.
Okay. Now, can the state appeal that?
To the Circuit Court of Appeals, you can take that up to the Supreme Court. And so there have been, I think, one or two habeas corpus cases brought. And every once in a while, Lincoln suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. He said, now we're going to put the Southern sympathizers in jail, and we're not going to let anybody release them.
Karen, oh, I said we got Karen. Karen, hang on a second. We'll get to you here in a second. But Jacob is saying, so what will happen to Jenna Griswold and Phil Weiser? Would it weigh in at the court at all that essentially Jenna Griswold did the same thing and hasn't even been prosecuted? Or does that?
Well, ostensibly, no, because ostensibly it's whether she is unlawfully held and whether somebody else ought to be in jail for something else or something related, but not the same case. No.
Okay.
But, you know, what affects judges? Well,
yeah.
Fairness, really. I mean,
theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, that could make a difference in their mind. It would never, probably would never cite it, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah, Jennifer was a plaintiff. Yeah, then I guess the state would have the ability to appeal. Okay, so we've got Karen Catalina on the phone. Hey, Karen, thanks for calling in.
It's my pleasure. How are you both?
We're good. How are you?
Tremendous.
Good. I just had to call in and be Dr. Obvious.
Okay.
When I was listening to your first guest, I just wish that we felt comfortable enough. I mean, we all do, all of us do, as to what's really going on with these ridiculous projects.
Yeah.
And I guess beginners look at that and it gets them going and they understand. But when you talk about these incompetent programs, there's only one reason for any of them. And we all know this. They're shell corporations, shell businesses, or whatever they are, projects, in order to pay off their buddies and buy influence, or to keep people's mouths shut, or to keep them beholden. It is all to build their own power. And it's a lot easier to say, gee, we tried this and it didn't work, and gee, aren't we incompetent, than to say, you know what we were really doing was paying people off, ripping off the taxpayers, and building up as much power as we possibly could. There's a reason that people like Ken Buck suddenly flip.
Yes.
And that's what they have to get to.
That's a good point. Well, you know, and I think Elon Musk did a good interview with the Joe Rogan, was it, where he was talking about, you know, the George Soros business model, which is, you know, you start up an NGO, you get the government to give you a whole bunch of money, then you kind of funnel a bunch of it back out to various little pet projects that all help Democrats get elected, or you put, like you said, back into people's pockets. I mean, look at
some of them pull a lot of people, like Head Start, which, you know, goes from birth to about third grade, I think, although they expanded it afterwards, employs a lot of babysitters hiding as teachers.
All of whom will vote, you know, for the Democrats.
Sure, of course.
Look at, Karen, to your point, I mean, you know, that whole thing that James O'Keefe found with that EPA guy saying we were like throwing gold bars off the Titanic, right? What, they give $2 billion to a Stacey Abrams NGO, right, in the days before the Biden administration?
That's not incompetence. That's not incompetence. It's money laundering. It's the same thing they're doing with Ukraine. And, you know, I know you guys and the listeners totally understand that. But have you heard any conservative pundits talk about it yet very much? No. They just talk about how foolish and dumb. Trump can't afford to say it, but he's alluded to it several times.
Well, and you're right. You're right, Karen. I mean, they sort of do a full stop at how stupid it is. And there aren't enough of them, I would agree with you, talking about, wait, what's the actual plan? Because like you said, that's the business model. This is the way they funnel money back and forth to each other and line each other's pockets.
I think it got bigger because, you know, before you had to have at least help little kids.
Yeah, you had to at least do something.
In theory. But when you say do climate justice, well, there's a lot of ways to do climate justice, or give a more positive model to intersexual kids. And I mean, they're so vague now that they really don't require you to do anything. So, and I'm sure Stacey Abrams would give that out to another company, who would give out to another company, who would have a consultant who would take, you know, everybody would get their greedy little hands into it. But the question is,
and don't forget when your guest, who sounded great, by the way, says, oh, bleeding heart projects and oh, we care. What an insult to our intelligence. While they're stealing from us and enriching themselves and putting a pretty name on it, that there's nothing compassionate about any of it. They don't care about any of these things.
No.
And we have to be able to prove that. And we've got basically 2 years, maybe four.
I love
when they, and I heard it the other night on somewhere, you know, they had good intentions. No, they didn't. They planned to rob us.
They don't have good intentions, but they're good at making titles that make you think that they have good intentions.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Karen, and then we'll let you go, because my thinking is that whole business model, because that's what it is, right? It's a corrupt, business model. I think Trump has disrupted enough that even if the courts really has to give some of the money back to some of them, I mean, that's not going to be in the next budget. Like you said, we've got a couple of years here to play with. I think that he has significantly disrupted that business model. And a lot of these things are going to sort of melt for lack of money being poured in. Okay, well, let me ask Karen. I mean, what do you think, Karen?
Well, I think that that on the in the case of USAID, how quickly they're hurting for money suddenly.
Yeah.
And none of these things are, and people have their hands out. I think the thing that I'm most interested in now, I mean, it, like we've said, it's glorious. Every day is my birthday. This Doge thing, I love it, love it, love it. I'm going to say something raunchy. It's the conservative libertarian wet dream. It's what we've wanted. We've been desperate. We've been desperate for this. What I really think, though, is that Trump's most powerful tool is educating the slow comers to understanding what's really going on here. Because even if these criminals were pardoned, the point is to help get the entire public, and more of the public is up to speed than we think, because after all, 70% of them voted for Trump. Yeah. But still, there are these people who do not understand what's really going on versus what they say is going on. And if he can help them go from, transgender mice and help them understand from that point to what the real point of all of this is, then we might never be able to go back in the same way. Maybe. Yeah. It's optimistic, but.
Perfect example.
Well, the reason I said no is because, quite frankly, Congress appropriates. We're heading toward March with a government shutdown. It'll only be not shut down with a continuing resolution. A continuing resolution will give the same money, if not more, to USAID. Mm-hmm. And it'll give the same money to the Department of Education. It'll get, if not more. And so ultimately, you know, you may delay it slightly, but unless Congress figures out some way to actually legislate and say, no USAID money, no Education Department money, it's a temporary victory at best.
Well, but I think in part because... go ahead, Karen.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say Congress is part of the problem. It's about some of the money is going to them, right?
Yeah, so,
a lot of the money is going to them. That's why they refuse to cut off the gravy train. It's their gravy train. But I wonder, Chuck, that's what's so... It's like the wraparound smear. I mean, they're holding themselves up as the people who are putting the fire out, and they're the people who started the fire, right?
All right, hey, Karen, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
We've got time. Oh, I want to talk about at least some. There are some things that are happening. I don't know if you guys saw. So the FBI agent, the head of the New York field office.
Let me finish up one other thing. We were talking
about. With Tina, okay.
With Tina Peters, we were talking about Tina. Write this down if you got a pen or a good memory. You have to watch it on YouTube, the Jeff and Billy Show on 710 KNUS at 7 a.m., where America's Mom comes on and bitch slaps Billy Thorpe up and down. It is unbelievable. I mean, people have been calling me, do you listen to that? Billy Thorpe, and everyone was laughing at poor Billy. And Jeff Hunt, his co-host, was joining in the laughter. I mean, and Billy, if you watch it on video, it's even better. Billy looks like a, you know, murderous suspect who did it, sitting on a stool while they trained the light on him. You know, his eyes were shifting. He was going back and forth. I was at my cousin's house that night. It was hilarious. So 7 a.m., Jeff and Billy Show with Sharona Bishop, America's Mom, for the radio ass-stopping of the year, if not the decade or more. Never have I seen a host so eviscerated since Julie did it to...
Julie and Mark did it to Mandy Connell.
Mandy Connell. But this was even... Mandy Connell was smart because she
kicked
she ran
off.
Him out. The studio, and she was, you know, he couldn't run her out, so he had to sit there and, hey, you little kitty. I mean, it was, and the fans and the radio people, because Billy has been mocking Tina Peters for years now, and attacking Tina, and everybody, you know, and Billy's a good arguer, he's a bright guy. There's been, but Tina Peters was.
Now, Charlene says, did Jeff Hunt join with Sharona, or he remained sort of neutral, didn't he?
No. He would gently Billy would say, "Well, you talk too long, Sharona. You know, you've been over talking to me." And Billy would go, "Well, we did ask you. You did ask her a question. Why don't you let her respond?" And you go,
I mean, Dr. Chen, is this Sharona? Yeah, Sharona does a Patriot Zoom. She's not the last thing. So,
oh, right. You must, and you can't just stop when America's Mom goes off, because then everybody piles on, and even the guy who reads the news, gives some commentary too, starts mocking Billy and running a part in which Billy gets killed.
All right.
So no. Write this down. 7 a.m. The Jeff and Billy Show. Get it on YouTube, and you will have a. If you like Tina Peters, yeah. you will have a happy.
Charlene says, minutes. "Love the pile on." Hey, and going back to people bribing, Mark Hampton says, "Who does Parker Conservatives runs We the People Network?" And the Honey Badger Report says, "Back to I'm with Chuck in this one. No one's trying to pay me off to keep quiet." It's like we're there, aren't we, Mark? We're there. Well, okay. So why this being Party Friday, there's some kind of funny stuff. There is, I don't know if you guys have kids or you see, so when the kids play video games, a lot of them, you can pick your avatar. And so what happens is they play like little cheerful music and then the avatars come on and they do they're your character. That's going to be you. Right. And so, and then they kind of make little moves and stuff. And then you pick your avatar. Well, the Democrats foolishly went to some influencer who said, "Oh, we can make everybody like the Democrats on TikTok, make everybody love the Democrats again." And there's this very popular series of video games called Street Fighter. So they have the various female Democrat representatives and senators pretending that they're avatars, reps, yeah, pretending that they're avatars that you get to pick. It's just
for a street fight.
To be your Street Fighter avatar. Thomas,
ask if you'd want any of these people to be your Street Fighter.
Since we're going a little bit out of order, but if you could please play the Street Fighter video. It was like so humiliating, right?
You could just see some like 10-year-old boy coming up and going, bam, boom.
Well, and that was so humiliating. Even CNN.
Even CNN.
Saw how humiliating it was because they tried to talk about it. So, Thomas, if you could please play the CNN soundbite.
Coalition Congresswoman, that TikTok trend, I don't even know where to begin. I'm not sure why this is necessary. I mean, there is like serious stuff happening in this country, but that seems to be just inviting ridicule.
So when you think about TikTok as a trend, we are trying to reach out to different people and different voters. And the woman who produced this is an influencer with 7 million followers. So this is lighthearted. It's fun. And anytime you do something creative, you're going to get criticism, right? But I actually applaud them for trying to do something different. And here's the reality. 7 million followers, whether you think it's cringe or you like it, we're on CNN on a Thursday night, and we're talking about it on national TV.
But I guess my question is, to what end? I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. I mean, maybe you will get 7 million eyeballs, but, is the point?
I am not accustomed to helping your party do anything.
Yeah.
But let me give you some advice. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And if you read the comments today, Lord have mercy. Look, scrambling for new social media and communication strategies is not a replacement for fixing what's actually wrong. Your party has a 21% approval rating right now, congressional Democrats.
But let's talk about fixing what's wrong. Donald Trump is doing nothing for the American people.
He has a 50% approval rating.
But he's doing nothing for the American people.
And so
he's not lowering the cost of living. He tells lies.
Fix the policy and leave the gimmicks behind.
I mean, and there's the thing. So once again, they try to be like, they have not learned a lot of basic PR things. It's like, number one, even Sanders is like, and why would you open yourself up to ridicule? It's like, certainly somebody should.
We're on Thursday night on CNN talking about what fools we are. That's great.
Somebody must have had some aide. I'm sure there was some aide standing there quietly thinking in the back of their head, oh, this is awful. This is awful, right? But I can't tell them because they all think it's so good. And you know, and like Scott Jennings says, no, having 7 million eyeballs thinking you're an idiot is not good. And then they do the typical, once again, Trump lies. Like, what? What's that going to do with anything? What? And what did he lie about? They don't have anything to say. So they just thought that Trump lies and Trump, he's not doing anything for the country. It's like, yes.
Somebody else said that it really was a contest to imitate Trump's dance moves.
Yeah, exactly. And then Thomas says, oh, it's so cringy. Kids will see that and point and laugh, not think about joining the Democrats. Well, exactly. I mean, they're trying to like Trump with the McDonald's, right? I mean, that kind of thing is, but it goes back to the problem the Democrats have is they have no sense of humor anymore. They have no idea
you
what's
need a little
funny.
Sense of humor to make a fool of yourself.
No, I think they all like high-fived each other and said, oh, that was, you know what I mean? It's like
mean.
Stupid
you
auction
mean.
Placards who that
would,
they show.
Who would pick one of those? Your avatar. I mean, no.
And here's
get Stacey Abrams out there where she could tank him or something.
Let's see, when JD intervened with Zelensky, Trump back like a G. Oh yeah, it's like he had his back like a G. Yeah, I mean that was tough. People respect that. And even then, when Trump says, "Hey, that was good television," at least,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah,
that
right.
was funny. It's like, and they did it, and it was just so awful. And you just know that not one of those women had any idea what Street Fighter was. Maybe AOC.
Well,
I don't
well,
know.
Well, they're getting Street Fighter.
Yeah. I don't. Sure. Here's another thing that's kind of funny. So they fire the FBI agent Dennehy, who refused to, or they made him resign, rather, hand over the Epstein files and the J6 files. So he quits, but he quits once again, stupid Democrats. He doesn't just quietly leave the office. They have like this parade with bagpipes as he leaves the office. Thomas, if we could please play the FBI bagpipe video.
An extraordinary scene outside of the New York FBI office in the last hour. Assistant Director in Charge, James Dennehy, who was forced to resign under pressure this week, left the building to cheers from hundreds of his colleagues and the sound of bagpipes. He was forced out after clashing with Donald Trump's Justice Department after the removal of senior FBI leaders and requests for the names of agents who worked on the January 6th cases. He told those gathered that he will be their, quote, best cheerleader on the outside. We'll be watching for that. Another break for us. We'll be right back.
Okay, now if I'm Trump, I'm like freeze framing that. And I'm identifying, I'm using FBI's own facial and, you know, recognition programs to fire every single one of those people. What do they have? An official FBI guy? They got an official FBI flag person out there? And so what is
they this? Were playing Scotland the Brave, though.
Well,
and that was excellent.
It was an excellent rendition.
Yeah, excellent rendition of Scotland the Brave.
So what was a heroic, brave thing this guy was doing? He was refusing to release the Jeffrey Epstein documents, right? One of the most corrupt sex trafficking FBI. I mean,
leave the poor guy alone.
It's kind of like, give me a break. He's no hero. It's just ridiculous. And they do it with the bagpipes. And of course, you know.
I love the bagpipes.
And somehow
who paid for that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Every time. That's right. Every time I hear that, I think of the movie Braveheart. Exactly. But I don't think this guy is really Braveheart, you know. And from Charlene, Bill Barr, the greatest traitor in history, used the bagpipes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and Charlene, too many Unipartiers in those Epstein documents. Yeah, maybe they paid for it. But that's, again, just the ridiculousness of it, right? He's not, if you stop and think about it, and that's what you can't do if you're a Democrat, you cannot stop and think about what's actually going on. It's like, oh, the guy was fired. It's like, right, for refusing to hand over documents that everybody wants to see that are protecting only the rich elite. You know, we can't have the rich and the elite unprotected. It's like, so we will get fired with bagpipes.
What's the FBI for if it's not to protect the rich,
the rich and the elite? I guess that's a very good point. From Charlene, then Bondi redacts them. Yeah, I'm not sure. And from Dr. Donna, my father had the bagpipes play at his funeral. That's true. Yeah. Bagpipes are moving, but again, this guy is being released and all these FBI agents, that was probably the most people who had gone to work in the office that day since COVID, really.
That's right. Good point.
They all had to go to
work. They all had to go to work for at least for a few minutes.
But I would, if I'm Trump, I would just fire them all. Say, okay, you're all fired. Or I would send them to Alabama, one or the other.
Yeah, either one would do it.
That's right.
Redstone Arsenal.
We have, and we'll play it because we're not going to have time on Monday. They released the jail video that they were talking about during the Mayor Johnston hearing in Congress, where ICE You know, rather than release the ICE detainee inside a facility where it'd be safe for everybody, they let him go outside, where he, of course, then runs away. And this, the video is pretty interesting, and it shows just how stupid Denver sanctuary city policies are.
Oh, these are ridiculous. Stupid people.
So we'll go ahead and play that Monday, right?
Monday.
In the meantime, it is time for Party Friday to commence.
All right. Get out there and start having some fun.
That's right. We'll see everybody on Monday. Thank you to everybody on Zoom.
Bye-bye, everybody.
We'll see you later. Thank you, Thomas. Bye, everyone.